morning.
Good
morning. How are
you?
Good afternoon, that's right. Well, it's morning someplace. It's like it's 5 o'clock someplace. That's right. So I'll share with you before I do the opening prayer two short stories about myself that I think you might get a kick out of. One, my family grew up Presbyterian, my mother did. And my great-great-something gave a piece of land in Tennessee to the church, and they created, and they called it the Cumberland Church, but it was the Presbyterian Church there. And so when I went to the University of Tennessee, every once in a while, I would wander down to the Nashville area to visit my mother's family, her aunt, my aunts and my uncles that were down there. And on Sunday, if the preacher was there, it would be similar to what probably happened here, why, as I talked to Ginny, you had the service in the afternoon, is that the preacher would show up once a month. So I came in with my cousin Martin, who since passed away, who was one of my best friends, and we sat on one side, and everybody else was sitting on the other side. And I looked at Martin, and I said, Martin, how come we're the only two that sit on this side? He said, that's because that's where the sinners sit. The second thing I'll share with you is that one time I went down there, and it happened to be the weekend the preacher did come. And he would be on a circuit, and he would show up once a month. And I will tell you that one Sunday, he gave every sermon that he gave for the whole month. And so we were there for almost 2 hours listening to Hellfire and Brimstone. I promise that will not happen here today. So it's really my pleasure to be here. I've come to this church a couple times, and it's just gorgeous, and it's the way life should be, is in Maine. If you will pray for me for a second with me, and this is taken from Psalm 100, verse 4. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with grateful hearts. As we gather together to worship you, we pray that you will fulfill this place with your presence. Amen. Now we will open up with our the church. I did mess that up. Sorry about that. I kind of did that before we did the song. So now if you'd all stand, we'll sing the Church in the Wildwood. And if Jen would start it off.
Come.
since I've already done the opening prayer, we're now to the hymn sing. And I am not a musician, so I will not be playing at the organ. If I did, you'd all leave. And Jenny's going to help lead the sing there. What I would ask you to do is identify the hymn number, the title, and the verses you would prefer. And if you would start it, if not, I'll have to look at Jenny. She'll have to start it. So what verse? Yes, ma'am. 515. We get there. I will be a sunbeam, first and the last. All right.
Jesus says, be for a sunbeam to shine for gloomy shade. In every way try to please him, at home, at school, at play. A sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam, a sunbeam.
Next one. Yes, ma'am.
Page 289.
289. One and three. 289. Let me get there. 289, Blessed Assurance, number verses 1 and 3. Have one another one for us?
How about 458? This is my Father's world.
458.
And we'll do first and last.
458. This is my Father's world, first and last.
This is my Father's world, and to my trees, of skies and seas, his hand.
487, Amazing Grace. First and last. My country chooses thee.
First and last, I guess.
First and last. Yes, Jen.
I have a son who's an alcoholic, and he has stopped drinking for a long time now. But during the course of his alcoholism, he lost his driver's license. It looked like it was going to be a permanent situation. But we have a little hope now that he might actually get his license back, which would make it so much easier for him to travel from Montauk, New York, to Madden, Maine. So,
my fingers crossed and pointed outwards that
he will be successful in this quest.
Yes.
The countries of Libya and Morocco and Ukraine.
I saw somebody's hand over here.
Yes, my neighbor Brad is going in for brain surgery in 2 weeks in Boston, and for a central tumor. He had his right arm taken care of last year, and we hope his left arm gets the same treatment this year.
Brad for surgery. Anything else? Yes, dear.
Today's the last day until Thanksgiving, and I want to thank everybody for welcoming me into this church again, and God bless everyone of you.
Amen.
Sounds like a Christmas prayer. God bless everyone. Any others? Yes, sir.
As usual, let's just give thanks to the Lord for this beautiful day and to be here around in His beautiful surroundings. Enjoy this beautiful sunshine and this beautiful church. And thank the good Lord that we're all here and help and able to enjoy this service.
Okay. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, in Christ you taught us to pray and promise that we will receive all that we've asked for in his name. Hear our prayers for the Church Universal, for this congregation, its mission and ministry, for the healing of the earth, for peace and justice in the world, for the nations and its leaders, for our local community, for the poor and oppressed, for the bereaved and the lonely, and for all those who need healing. With special prayers for Ginny's son and his obtaining his driver's license, for the countries of Libya, Morocco, and the Ukraine, for Brad, who's about to have another round of brain surgery, and God bless this church for its last day it's opened until Thanksgiving, and especially thank you for this beautiful day after the storm, the beautiful surroundings that we live in every day, that people pay to come on vacation for, excuse me, God, and for this church and its people. Now you join me in, take a moment for a moment of silence for your own prayers, please. Now if you join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Now, if you'll join me in the song, it's in the bulletin.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the hush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face.
Now we will take the offering. Your gifts support this church. However, if you're not prepared to place an offering in the basket, please know your presence is gift enough. You'll have to fight over it. Oh, there's one over there, sorry. Ginny didn't tell me that. Join me to stand in the doxology, please. Serve this church and the people of this community. Amen. And the scriptures?
Sorry, you have to put up with me today.
That's okay, I don't mind.
I wish I could do that trick with the glasses, though.
Gotta have magic.
Today's reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, from the New International Version. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years long, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Praise be to God.
Very good, thank you. So I'm sure if you've looked at the bulletin, you've seen that I call this sermon conversation rules. Because obviously Jesus broke the rules, or he bent the rules. So first I thought it would be a good idea if we defined what a rule is. Rule is a set of explicit or understood regulations or principles governing conduct with a particular activity or sphere. They are the laws or regulations prescribed by the founder of a religious order for the observance of its members. It's an accepted procedure, custom, or habit. Example of rules that I'm sure we all grew up is knock on closed doors before entering. You don't want to be surprised at what you see on the other side. Pick up after yourself. I'm still not very good at that. Make amends when you hurt someone. Tell the truth. We all live by rules. There are family rules like brush your teeth before you go to bed. Don't play with matches. Put your toys away when you're not playing, when you're done playing with them. When you went to school, there were rules. Your school rules would be something like be quiet while others are working or so the teacher is speaking. Don't go out and play it before recess. Do your homework. And I'm sure, looking at this room, that you all abided by those rules. Our government has rules. Cross the street in the crosswalks. Stop for a red light. Follow the speed limit while driving. I try, God. There are holy rules. There are the rules that are the Ten Commandments. And I'm sure you can think of others, as we said in this room. Some of these other rules are totally make sense and we should never break them, ever, no matter what. The first one that I can use as an example and I'm sure we never broke is no food in the living room. Well, unless you're sick at home, you can eat in the living room. But the second one, all athletic shoes, and I'm sure we all heard this at some time in our careers in school, in the gym, only athletic shoes, only sneakers. That one will never be broken. Well, unless it's award night or graduation, and that's in the gym, then we really do need to wear nice shoes. And the last one that I can think of as I wrote this is for sure is don't talk to strangers. That one we never, never break. Except it's probably okay to say to somebody, oh, hi, if you see them. Someone in the store while checking out, even if you don't know them. In fact, I find some of the best conversations with this kind of person while waiting in line to pay. So sometimes I guess it's okay to break the rules. Should rules be broken? Most people don't question rules, but successful people do. Rules are created to protect the status quo, not to spur innovation. Rules are established by people in power, and those people have a vested interest in staying in power. Rules are not static, they evolve, but that evolution is driven by rule breakers. Rules are facts. They are not laws, they're theories. Rules are based on theories of what is best, and those theories are based on the available information at the time they were created. Rules are open to interpretation. I think that's probably my favorite one. To obey a rule is a choice. To disobey a rule is to choose and deal with the consequences of doing something for breaking that rules. Rules are based on what is known and can inhibit what is possible. Rules that restrict more than they can enable deserve to be broken. In the Bible, we just heard the story about a religious leader criticizing Jesus for breaking the holy rule. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath when he saw a woman who had been crippled for 18 years. She was so crippled she was unable to stand up straight. Jesus healed her, and she was immediately had the ability to stand straight. She began to praise God. Let's look at the gospel, what it says. Look at the opening sentence. He, Jesus, was teaching in one synagogue on the Sabbath day. Behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. She was bent over. She could in no way straighten herself out. When Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, "Woman, you are free from your infirmity." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she stood up straight and glorified God. Think for a minute how she felt. She had gotten used to looking at people out of the corner of her eye, looking up and sideways. After 18 years, she could hardly remember the other way of seeing the world. On this particular Sabbath, there was a special excitement in the synagogue where she regularly went to worship. This preacher, this Galilean preacher and prophet, Jesus of Nazareth, has arrived in town, would be teaching there. She and the others in town heard reports about Jesus, how he talked about God's reign arriving soon, and how he healed the sick. She was not sure how many of the rumors to believe, but she was trying not to get her hopes up. Her life already had too many disappointments to count. When she entered the synagogue, the place was abuzz. As Jesus began to teach, however, the room was hushed. Moments later, his turn from teaching to an invitation. He had caught her eye, by no mean feat, given the fact that he had to lean over and incline his head to do so. "Come here," he said to her. She slowly made her way to the front of the assembly. What happened next amazed the whole congregation. "Woman," he said, "you are set free from your ailment." When this man, Jesus, spoke to her, these words put his hands on her broken, bent body, he felt power surge through her. Without hesitation, she straightened her once crooked back. She stood tall and praised God. The religious leader then became pretty upset. Jesus had healed the woman on the Sabbath. He said, "There are 6 days when men," and I would add, and women, "ought to work. Therefore, come to those days and be healed, not on the Sabbath day." Remember, the fourth commandment prohibits work on the Sabbath. It cites the example of God who rested the seventh day and requires the day be holy. Not only are Jews prohibited from working on the Sabbath, but they are prohibited from working with their servants or their animals. This leader, not Jesus, the priest in the temple, this religious leader, he knew the rules. But let's look at what he was seeing when he thought about this thing. First, the synagogue's leader complaint is, on the surface, a faithful reading of the Torah, and the seventh day was set aside by God for Israel's rest, and work was prohibited on the Sabbath. Second, Jesus' response is not a rejection of the Torah rulings about the Sabbath. Instead, he argues from the legitimate allowances of restricted kinds of work on the Sabbath. Yet, this is a story of controversy between Jesus and the synagogue leader. At its core is the healing that demonstrates Jesus' power and his compassion. We hear the compassionate tone in Jesus' defense for healing on the Sabbath when he argues from the lesser to the greater. If compassion is shown for one's animals on the Sabbath by providing them water, ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be set free from bondage on the Sabbath day? Real life example, I think all of you can attach to and realize it's something we can all hold on to, is the example of an emergency worker who helps persons with serious health problems if they've been in an accident. We have speed limits but there are times when emergency drivers need to go faster than the speed limit allows. I mean, emergency drivers are aware of the rules of the road, are cautious in the way they drive, but they also must transport the injured to the hospital as quickly as possible. Seconds can make a difference. It's the compassionate thing to do. They even do it on Sunday. Rules are necessary to keep us safe. Help us make good choices. Make the things we do efficient and fair. There is no doubt that rules are important. They're also important to be compassionate, though. Compassion is holy. Jesus cared about the people in need, and we should care too. Think back to what I said before, why rules should be broken, or at least bent. And it is my intention, with a few of my answers, to answer them for yourself. But I will give you my perspective on some of them. Most people don't ask questions, but most successful people do. Was Jesus successful? I think so. Rules are created to protect the status quo, not spur innovation. Did Jesus know the status quo? I don't think so. If he did, he ignored it, rightfully. Rules are open to interpretation. Jesus interpreted the fourth commandment of resting on the Sabbath day a bit differently than the religious leader. Caused just a little bit of concern. I think these three speak for themselves. Rules are not static. They evolve. But the evolution is driven by rule breakers. Rules are based on what can inhibit what is impossible. And finally, rules that restrict more than they enable deserve to be broken. With that last thought, I thank you, and I hope you're not afraid to break or bend the rules when it's necessary. Get out my cheat sheet now. Closing hymn. Whoops. I got the wrong cheat sheet, Jenny. Which closing hymn we got?
177.
177? 177. If you all can stand, those that are able. All verses?
Yes.
Okay. Start us off.
With you.
Closing thought before the benedictions. Sometimes we get distracted and focus on the wrong things. There were many things when Jesus clashed with the church. This story just highlights one of them. When the church leaders placed emphasis on the wrong things and criticized Jesus for doing something wonderful. The goal of this message is to communicate that we should break the rules, want to love, and serve those in need, no matter the day of the week or what the rules are. Let us pray. Father, give us the courage to break the rules that need to be broken, to accept the rules that should not be broken, and the insight to know the difference between one and the other. Go in peace until we meet again. Amen.